Hello, everybody. Nice to see familiar faces. Thank you very much for being here. So I'm going to completely bring you back from an international health setting to the global health setting, which means the, you know, home as well. I have no conflict of interest to declare for this presentation and this study. It's basically, I am presenting a public health course developed for the graduate student of public health enrolled in a global health program that that introduced them to the concepts of the health and human rights and health need of asylum seekers and torture survivors. That's basically it. So it's about the efficacy of the course. You know, we don't know what's going on after. It's just the efficacy of the course. So just a little bit of a background, because some of you may not be so much familiar with the numbers and epidemiology of torture survivors in the United States. The estimation is somewhere between 7 to 12% of a non-U.S. born patient who visit a primary care setting in the U.S. they survive some form of human rights abuses and torture. The number is pretty high. We have around 10 to 12% of the population in the U.S. Foreign born, at least. In some areas like New York City, where I work, that is up to 35%. So considering, you know, that number, the rate is pretty high. Now, the problem with it is that because they are at the bottom of the social pyramid in terms of resources and social capital, we don't have information about them. And, you know, they are not, if they apply for asylum seekers, we have some information about them, but not probably less than 10% of them actually apply. So, you know, again, the numbers is the estimation. There's no any formal course for public health students to introduce them to the health of asylum seekers. There has been obviously a lot of increased interest in the global health, in the public health, as well as medicine, clinical medicine as well, over the last maybe 10 to 15 years, I would say. And a lot of opportunities. I think focus has been on overseas program, which I think is great, and you know, I've been a part of that as well. But also, we have a lot of opportunities inside the country that we don't want to miss. So you don't have to go that far in order to get access to the people who are underserved, and they are here already. So what is the course? It's a course for a public health student. You know, it has 12 sessions, an hour and a half, and people sign up for it. In the beginning, we started the course in 2005. In the beginning, they didn't have to. It was not a requirement of the global health track, but later it became a requirement. So some of the data comes from, you know, folks who really had to take it, you know, they didn't have any choice, but, you know, I would say probably 70% of them, they just took it out of the interest. Now that introduces another bias, I mean, selection bias, but we'll talk about it later. Anyway, so there's a didactic session that covers the areas, as you can see, just basic demographic and epidemiology of the torture and human rights abuses worldwide and in the U.S., and what are some of the psychological and medical sequelae of torture, type of the tortures, and their sequelae, as well as international and national asylum health law and refugee laws. And then the way to approach to evaluate and address the public health and social needs of the survivors. So these are lecture series with speakers and reading, come to you like usually you get. The difference between this course of public health student is that they get sessions that they directly they have a chance to actually talk to the survivors. So bring the survivors to tell their stories in a panel discussion or personal, sometimes just one of them, different sessions. And after that, we set up a clinic for a clinician to learn the forensic evaluation of evaluating the asylum seekers. For their process of the asylum seekers, they have to basically show that, you know, they have physical or psychological sequelae of torture, and we write an affidavit. So that's primarily is set up for a clinician or potential clinician. But in this case, we bring the public as a student to the picture. So they come to the clinic. It's three or four hours of, you know, going through the evaluation. They're not going to be clinician, but they really get a good sense of a first-hand understanding and who these folks are and what are their needs is. And after that, they are a part of the process of even writing an affidavit, working with the attorneys and the judiciary system, all those things. So that's really, those components are different from a usual public health course that you get. So we evaluated these folks, graduate student. So I have to tell you that in the course, we had clinician as well. So the MD, MPHS student are in the course, the pure MPHS student are in the course, and folks who are, you know, PhD student are, so there are different groups. So this data only presents information from students who are not clinician. The clinician, from the clinician, last year was presented, I guess, in one of the sessions as well. So so we did a pre and post course or curriculum evaluation that covered, you know, attitude, knowledge, and self-efficacy. Now, the knowledge was not really that important to me because you know, you have your iPhone, and if you forget something, you can basically double-check the knowledge. But, you know, changing people's attitude for me was important in order to really get an understanding of what's going on and try to do something about it and get some sense of self-efficacy. And so we measure that in the baseline and then 3 months and after the course is done. And they also had a single post-exposure evaluation of the course overall. So not what they think about the course altogether and in different ways that it was presented. So just a little bit of a demographic. More than two-thirds of them, 75%, were female, and majority of them were in second year. So this is a two-year program in a public health school. And 30% of them were international born, and not a lot. Around 10% of them attended a clinical session, as I mentioned. Now, these are the ones who finished the whole clinical session. They came to clinical session, went over the process of affidavit, went over the process of getting to the attorneys and until the hearing, although the hearing takes months and months and then they're already gone from medical school. So 10% of them finished the curriculum, but around 35% of this group definitely came to clinic and had exposure to different levels. And around 50% of them, they spent some time in developing countries. Most of them was somewhere between 2 weeks of volunteering with a different organization during the college time. So post-exposure, this is from the pre and post, is a paired t-test, okay? So we not everybody is going to fill out, obviously, the pre and post. So I included only the folks who completed pre and post. So that's the data that I have from a 40-year student. Obviously, I had more students run, probably, I think, 75 students over the span of these years that were purely public health students. 40 of them, they fill out the pre and post. And so as you can see, they were more likely to recognize the healthcare professional obligation toward detecting and providing services for survivors, how to figure out how they can figure out who is a torture survivors and the way to really get that information and direct them to the potential social and medical services that's available. And also they have a knowledge of the most common sequelae of the torture and the social needs and health need of the survivors. Student attitude toward working with the torture survivors improved. So this has been measured in two ways. I'm going to show you in the table, next table. And they had improved of self-efficacy in identifying at a population at risk. Again, this is the self-efficacy. We didn't observe that. This is what they basically told us. Now, so those are attitude questions. You know, I know the common type of the physical maltreatment, and I'm relatively comfortable using the diagnostic criteria for PTSD depression. Again, these are not clinician at all, okay? They have no idea, but yeah, they have been exposed during the course, and they came to the clinic. And the self-efficacy really is, I know how to identify this population, because I think for a public health student or graduate, that's what I'm looking for. You know, I'm sorry, this is it's small, it's very hard to read. It's basically, you know, how has your emotional comfort level to evaluate torture survivor has changed? and you know 4 is increased, so it's pretty close to the 4. How much has your level of knowledge of important aspect of gathering information for evaluation or survival change? And since your participation in the program, your understanding of psychological effects of the torture has changed. So these are basically, again, the self-measurement that they have. So this includes the folks who are outside in pre and post. Okay. So the first two slides in the results section were pre and post, and this is the single exposure afterward. So these are anonymous, you know, and it's over a span of a couple of years. And, you know, for sure, they like to be nice, I guess. But again, my assumption was at least they thought that they learned something. So basically what they thought about the course, you know, overall rating. And 4 and 5, obviously, is very good to outstanding. And, you know, again, this really talks about the course, not the specific knowledge or attitude or self-efficacy that they have. Now, so as I said, my objective was for them to change the attitude, and I think at least we made that to the pre and post, and a little bit of self-efficacy. Why is important? Why is important? And, you know, it was feasible to do it. People really liked it. They came into it. And I think I missed one slide. I'm not sure. They were more likely. They said they were more likely to pick a position that has to do with the health and human rights overall, at least in a short period again. And that's another measurement from the course. It was not really that difficult to implement a combination of didactic and clinical exposure for a public health student. The assumption, I think, is maybe I had a wrong assumption beforehand, but I thought it might be difficult because if they are not interested in clinical medicine, they are just not interested in clinical medicine. But for them, it was a nice combination, and they felt, okay, they don't have a responsibility to take care of someone, but they really wanted to have that, you know, close exposure to the people that overall they're going to address the population health for them. And I think it was, you know, looking at a competencies in a public health student that is growing like bigger and bigger, so many competencies, but at least the cultural competency, and, you know, helping them to learn to do some advocacy on health and human rights was something that I think the course achieved that process.